This time of year, glitter is everywhere. Holiday cards, decorations, and in our waterways. This is the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple. Recently at Little House Big Art, a crafting studio in Pittsburgh's Spring Hill neighborhood, 8-year-old Imogen Nowak looks for just the right beads.
Got some more?
She's making a necklace for her mom as a Christmas gift. And while she's not using any glitter today, it's a favorite.
Which is why I add glitter to things that I'm making or things that I love. It adds a little sparkle to life.
Owner Elizabeth Basher says she goes through a lot of it here.
About 100% of the people who come in find some way to use glitter.
So when Basher saw some recent headlines calling glitter an environmental hazard, well, it was hard.
We're kind of heartbroken.
In November, an article in the UK's Independent and other publications pointed to the problem with glitter and calls from some scientists to ban it.
I mean, we've all had these experiences, right, of having a kid's birthday party or, you know, having a craft event with, you know, with your kids, and the glitter comes out and, you know, 3 years later, you're still finding it in and amongst your house.
Except it doesn't stay in your house. Sherry Mason is a chemist at the State University of New York at Fredonia. She studies plastic pollution in the Great Lakes. She says when you wash your hands or clothes to get rid of glitter, that's where it ends up, in lakes, rivers, and oceans.
The vast majority of plastics that we find in the environment are these small pieces of plastic that are considered microplastics. I mean, majority of glitter is just, it's a microplastic.
Microplastics are technically 5 millimeters in diameter or smaller. Mason says most are more like a millimeter. They can be manufactured that way, like most glitter on the market, or might start out as a macroplastic, a bottle of water that's been ground down by the elements. Researchers estimate 10,000 metric tons of plastic debris enter the Great Lakes every year. Until recently, there were microplastics called microbeads in facial scrubs and toothpaste. Mason's discovery of tiny plastics in Lake Erie helped lead to federal legislation, the Microbead Free Waters Act of 2015, banning their use in some consumer products, and for good reason.
Plastics, by their nature, are very good at absorbing pollutants from the external environment onto their surface, things like, you know, polychlorinated biphenols, polyaromatic hydrocarbons, things that are known to be carcinogens, mutagens, endocrine disruptors.
Mason says fish eat the tiny pieces of plastic, and chemicals can be passed through their flesh to us. The plastic itself might even break into smaller pieces that lodge into the meat we eat. And while facial washes are no longer made with microplastics in the U.S., glitter is still pretty common in makeup. Of course, there's been some backlash over this call to end glitter as we know it. Some point to our dependence on disposable items like plastic bags as the bigger issue. Mason sees both sides.
Glitter is not the biggest piece of the pie, but it's an easy piece as a society for us to get rid of.
If that bums you out, Mason suggests we could use less glitter or switch to a sustainable, biodegradable brand. Elizabeth Basher at Little House Big Art found one made in Denmark.
It's a much higher cost, but I think we'll probably go ahead and do that. And then it's compostable, so it'll be we'll have glitter in our community garden.
As always, there's a lot more at our website, AlleghenyFront.org. That's the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple.